Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
And welcome to the 453rd episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch. Today with my tenacious co-host, we have the one and only Fluffiest Whimsicott.
I do feel pretty tenacious today. Thank you, Thatch.
And we have the man himself, Seth Vilo. The man who stole my show.
I did. Hostile takeover, was successful.
God. Welcome to the Puckle Podcast, where we talk everything Pokemon, from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. I don't know what's in between anymore. Unite. Yeah, I guess Unite's definitely in between. I guess it's not coming to the U.S. anymore. I don't know what's happening exactly anymore.
I would not mind if it never saw the light.
I want to play it.
Of course you do.
Pokemon of Legends.
I mean, you've got Unite. You've got a bunch of spinoff games. Pokemon Mystery Dungeon did come out. I am still impressed by the fact that that came out this year. And then Nintendo also just fell into a year of, we're just going to remake games, I guess, because we don't have manpower.
I mean, it works.
To be fair, I am more excited than I should be for Pikmin 3 on Switch.
Oh, yeah.
The only way they could have made it better is if it was like Pikmin Collection on Switch or something like that. I would have bought that. $60, I'm done. The only reason I never went back to it on the Wii U is because I'm like, man, I don't really want to pay like the bajillion dollars for all the DLC. And now they're just like, oh, it's all included. And there's a cool like story with Olimar and Louie in it, too, to explain what's going on and why Olimar and Louie are crashed. And I'm like, oh, man, that's so cool. Needless to say, I'm buying Pikmin 3 Deluxe on Switch. I'm also really excited because it's like proper handheld Pikmin, unlike that whatever 3DS title they pulled out of their butts a couple of years ago. But that's exciting. But this is a Pokemon podcast, so I should drop the Pikmin and we should talk about Pokemon and what we've been up to in Pokemon lately. I don't have a good answer for that this week, actually. What have you guys been up to?
So, not much, because my last two gym times were pretty quiet.
Mine too. By the way, I want to do like the thing. This is the last week to do gym badge collection.
Oh my gosh,
heads
up. Really?
It is.
Yes, this is the last week. You do it this week or SOL. Like, everybody always like tries to rush at like the end, and at least there hasn't been a rush, I guess, this time.
No, I guess the opposite, which is good. Yeah,
but this is the last week, so if they don't do it this week, they're SOL. I know I am personally doing like rematches if they need rematches.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like I said, if you need to set up a time with a gym leader, you can just DM them and do that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seth, you never got any of your badges.
So. No, I didn't. I'm terrible this year. I've been lazy, and I have an excuse, but it's not a good one, and it's what I've been up to in Pokemon, and that's getting super tilted in Draft League. So yeah,
that sounds right.
Yeah, I'm just up against people who happen to have Pokemon that crack through my very obvious defensive core. So like the last thing, the guy had, it was Rotted, and he had Rotom Heat, and I just have absolutely nothing on my entire roster that handles that Pokemon alone. So it just wore me out, and then Lycanroc Dusk came in and just cleaned up its mess. And I, like from team preview, I was dead. So it was just, all right, let's. I managed to last 55 turns, so I'm slightly proud of myself.
Oh, well, it was a Rotted Seth match, so I'm surprised.
I'm surprised, yeah.
Exactly.
I'm very surprised. I'm very surprised. You guys do not have short matches at all.
No.
What you are saying is that the disciple has gone beyond the master.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Or rather, the disciple packed something with a attacking stat above 100. So
we need a bingo card, and the bingo card should say Whimsicott actually pronounces every English word right for the entire episode. That has never happened before, I think.
Then you don't put on the bingo card because it never happens.
Well, that makes it an exclusive
one
bingo.
Day, I keep learning and learning and learning.
One day it'll happen. One day, I promise, guys. I really promise. Okay, well, this is, I haven't done much Pokemon stuff this week. I did my gym battles, and I think that's about it. Oh, we did stream the first, like, session of training for Fire Red Nuzlocke on Twitch.
Mm.
There needs to be a second session because there were problems. There's going to be a second session this Tuesday, so check it out. That's, what's the Tuesday, 11th? On the 11th.
Yes.
Come to Twitch, twitch.tv/thepokopodcast, and we're going to do some more grinding, because grinding takes forever.
Mm.
Yeah, unfortunately, right?
Mm.
Unfortunately.
I mean, it's part of the game.
It's part of, like, early Pokemon games. It's, like, the one thing that, like, I don't have nostalgia for in Pokemon.
Mm. Yeah.
All of the grinding you had to do, like, I think the biggest defender of this is, like, Heart Gold, Soul Silver, just even Gold and Silver, Red.
By far.
Gen 2 in general.
I mean, and just in-game, too. Like, that's horrible.
Yeah.
It's just the worst. There's just no way that you're going to get through that game without grinding, and it takes forever because, especially in Johto, I think, like, the highest level wild Pokemon you encounter in Johto is, like, 25.
Yeah.
And you have to battle, like, Claire at level 40.
It's stupid, is what it is.
It's really bad. It was because I think they were trying to make it a little bit more open world, quote-unquote, than previous Pokemon games, but because, like, you could go to Mahogany Town and you could theoretically take out Bryce before you took out Jasmine and Chuck.
I mean, Gen 1 was open world, too, in a way, but it wasn't as stupid as that.
It was open world if you forced it to be open world. You had to try. Because, mm-hmm. like, you can get through that game, and I think you can, like, get, like, up to Cerulean City, and then you can just start skipping gym badges.
Yeah.
I think you can skip all the way to Koga or something.
Yeah, you can.
It's really, really, really stupid. You can just go all the way to Koga, and then get Blaine, and then you can go back and get everybody else. It's really crazy.
I think if you look at the badges in the badge case, Koga does come before Sabrina.
He does. Yeah, no. Sabrina's sixth. You need Koga to get Surf so that you can go to Blaine. But you can get Blaine as your fourth badge.
Yeah, you can skip Erica. You can skip Erica.
You can skip Surge. You can skip a ton of people. And
I don't know that if you can skip Surge.
You can skip Surge if you get cut, traded to you.
Oh yeah. Wait, but I mean in a normal playthrough without.
Yes, that's the way you would do it. Like you could skip Surge if you just got cut on a Pokemon because they make it so that you have to get cut to get to Surge, which I think is dumb. What they should have done is made Surge like that badge, the badge that you needed to learn cut.
Yeah.
To use cut outside of battle. That's what they should have done, in my humble opinion. They like try to railroad you, but they don't try hard enough. To be fair, you can also softlock yourself in Pokemon Red and Blue. You can softlock yourself in Fuchsia City when you can't get into the Safari Zone.
If you don't have any money. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can definitely softlock yourself there. They did fix it in Yellow. You can softlock yourself there.
Yeah.
Red and Blue are not masterpieces by any stretch of the imagination.
They are in a way, but they're really not polished.
I would say that they're masterpieces for what they accomplished at the time.
Mm-mm, exactly.
Their concept is really good, but I would say later Pokemon games have definitely improved upon those.
It's like the Beatles. They were completely revolutionary at the time, but now they're kind of bland compared to some other things that came afterwards.
I take semi-offense at that, but that's...
I know you do. We've talked about this before, but that is my very strong opinion. Unlike Queen, Queen is always good.
To be fair, the Beatles, this is a sidestep from Pokemon, the Beatles are like a phenomenon that will never be repeated ever again in the history
Absolutely.
Of the world because the internet exists now. Like, the internet ruined anybody from becoming the Beatles. The Beatles did so well because they had, like, a bunch of really good songs from 1962 to 1964 that they wrote. And then 1964, they came to the US and they're like, hey, you probably never heard these, and put them all on the same album.
Like,
and that's Meet the Beatles. You end up just having, like, all of their greatest hit. It was the greatest hits album before greatest hits albums existed.
Exactly. Wow.
They held, like, something stupid, like, 7 spots in, like, the top 10 chart or something at one point. Somebody's gonna like yell at me at some point in like the YouTube comments or in an email, like, the Beatles did not do that. I'm sure I'm exaggerating.
I called them relatively bland. That's way worse than someone not knowing exactly how many of the top 10 spots.
I don't know as much about the Beatles as I know about the Beach Boys. All of my Beatles knowledge, all of my Beatles knowledge comes from my Beach Boys knowledge.
Yeah.
100%. Like, no joke.
They were intimately involved with each other because they went kind of back and forth in a way.
They went back and forth, but like it wasn't in such a way that like they were directly talking with each other about it.
Exactly.
Pet Sounds came out in 1965, and that's the reason the Beatles were just like, man, we gotta do Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Yeah.
And then Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band came out, and then Brian Wilson was like, man, I need to write something better. And then he tried to write an album called Smile that never came out. But one of the songs that like was a fruit of that was Good Vibrations. And so like that came out, which is probably one of the best Beach Boys songs to like ever be recorded.
Yeah.
I also recommend, before we end this segment, that you go look up Brian Wilson, Theremin, and you watch that video on YouTube. Oh, it's a my. Trip.
Oh, I bet. The Theremin itself is a trip.
But on that note, we are going to kick it on over to the news. Let's cue that epic music.
Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. The news, the news, the news. Okay, in the news. That was my echo effect. That was very professional, by the way. Nintendo did their quarterly press release for their investors to talk about their sales, and so we can actually stack up the sales of Pokemon Sword and Shield compared to other Pokemon titles now. Things that aren't surprising to me. One, Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee are still only at 12.2 million copies. I mean, I say only. It's still, like, that's still really good for a video game, but...
Yeah, but it's not a lot compared to where they were at 1 month after
their
release.
Yeah.
Yes, 1 month after their release, they were at 10 million. So I'm just saying, like, a year and a half later, maybe you'd sell more than 1.2 million copies. And this is kind of what I was semi-worried about with, like, Sword and Shield, but Sword and Shield, like, they got a bump, actually, when the DLC was announced, it turned out. But now Sword and Shield is at 18.22 million copies sold. We don't have DLC numbers. This makes Sword and Shield the third highest selling Pokemon games of all time. I am going to be completely honest, I'm unsurprised. I'm unsurprised, and even, like, even me, a year ago, unsurprised. Unsurprised, because as I've said from the beginning, like, if Sword and Shield's not a good game, it's not going to reflect in the Sword and Shield numbers, because this is the first Pokemon game that won. A lot of people have probably picked up in since Red and Blue. If you think about it, because a lot of people played it on Red and Blue and they go, man, I just want a console Pokemon game. That'd be crazy. And this is the first console Pokemon game. Not to mention, I think the Switch bump is a real effect as well. If you're releasing a game on the Switch, you're gonna get more copies sold.
It's just a really good console.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just a really good console. It's selling games really well. I mean, a good example of this is like Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild sold stupid well. I think it's actually still above Sword and Shield. And so Breath of the Wild sold a crazy number of copies, and that's just because Breath of the Wild was a game that, it's a bump from the Switch. The Switch is just a good console. It's really doing things. I still see, like, mixed reviews, like, from people who are just like, I was excited for Switch, but then I saw this, and then I played it, and I was like, meh. But, like, that's the only thing that I see nowadays. But I'm very unsurprised, and I hope the DLC keeps coming out, and it's really good.
Yeah.
We talked about it last week, obviously, and I'd love more DLC.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, it makes Sword and Shield the third highest selling Pokemon games. And I'm like I said, unsurprised. I thought 16 million was probably reasonable to expect because you're going to get a Switch bump. And I was only 2 million off. So this is kind of a trend we've been seeing for a while as well. Just from like console to console since you had like Pokemon fad high days, like in the Game Boy Color, obviously, where we saw like crazy Red and Blue sales numbers and crazy Gold and Silver sales numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald, those sales numbers like poof into the ground.
Yeah.
Emerald's like the second worst selling Pokemon game. Crystal's actually the worst selling Pokemon game. Fun fact.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, it makes sense. Crystal came out like an odd time. It was like after the Game Boy was over and the Game Boy Advance was already taken over.
I see.
Yeah. So that was the big thing. The Game Boy Advance had already taken over for the Game Boy. So like Crystal's in an odd place, but what happened was, so like you definitely saw like a decrease in popularity for Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire. But ever since then, we've seen definitely a recovery from generation, or I would say console generation to console generation. If you look at the first game on each console after that, like the DS titles, Diamond Pearl, those outsold Ruby and Sapphire by about a million copies. I believe they're at around, they're 17 point something million. And then you also had, then your 3DS titles. Well, I guess maybe the 3DS titles didn't beat them out. Because I think X and Y is at like 6.5 million.
X and Y is like 16.5, but Sun and Moon is also 16 and something.
It's a little under X and Y. It's a little under X and Y.
It's just under, because the 3DS, again, is also a really good console.
I also think Sun and Moon were aided by the Pokemon Go hype as well.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Oh, true.
I think that's something to keep in mind, as well as Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. Because, like, Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire numbers are crazy for a remake, by the way.
Mm-mm.
At, like, 14 million or something like that. They were, like, crazy high, because those were the most current games at the time of Pokemon Go. So
yeah,
those got to bump themselves. So I want that to be all, like, it's very hard to analyze this data without taking every caveat into account.
Yeah, true.
But I think Sword and Shield definitely got like the Switch bump, and I think a lot of people stopped buying handhelds after Red and Blue, picked up Sword and Shield. Because yeah, typically the handheld market is like seen as more kiddie or whatever, which I think is stupid.
Yeah, you don't often see like college students going around with a 3DS, but you will see college students going around with a Switch.
Yeah, exactly. So, yep. Exactly. And so that's what I absolutely, that's like one of the things that like I want to drive home. I know like I like the thing that I'm going to be like, this is just for you to know, not for you to go like flame war on Twitter with, by the way. Don't like if you are listening to this and you're going to be like, I'm going to take this information and like tell people on Twitter this, because they're claiming Sword and Shield sells very well, and that means it's a good game. I don't do that. Don't just think about it. That's all I want you to do. That's all. But Seth, tell me about some other things that have been happening in the Pokemon universe.
Yeah, which is kind of the most exciting news bit for me this week, just because of part of it. So pre-booking for the movie Coco has begun in Japan specifically, but with that, if you got a pre-booking ticket, you got special codes for, drumroll, Zarude and Shiny Celebi to be dropped into Sword and Shield. So those two Pokemon, mainly Zarude, because, you know, hadn't been available up until this point, is allowed now in Sword and Shield, and therefore you can ladder with it. So it's okay.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm like, it's probably nothing to like write home about.
Okay at best.
Yes.
Don't sleep on jungle healing. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I didn't think it was great. Yeah. It's Zarude. I don't know what people want. It's Zarude.
There's a new trailer though for the movie, and you can purchase tickets if you're a Japanese listener until December 24th, and the movie comes out on December 25th.
Yay.
The codes can be redeemed till March 31. Wow. And you can do multiple codes per one save file. So
yeah,
that's cool.
Mm-hmm. So we'll, I think that's going to be next month's giveaway, actually, for patrons.
You can't, it's Cherish Ball.
No, we can, because...
Never mind, I lied.
We do direct trades now.
Oh.
We don't put things on GTS. Where have you
been?
Look
at me. I've been...
Where have you been? I'm giving away a Keldeo right now in a Cherish Ball.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just throwing this out there for you.
Oopsie doodle.
All right. So tell us about other things that are happening, Whimsicott. I guess in Japan only as well.
Exactly. Yeah. They're only have... I mean, you can technically, I think, get the pre-booking for the thingy from here, but whatever.
Yeah, but I don't know that I want to pre-book a ticket for a movie that I'm not going to go see. Like, I don't know. Like,
you're literally just paying for the Pokemon.
Yeah, like, I don't even know. Do we know how much the pre-booking is? Like, it's got to be, like, the equivalent of, like, $20.
I have no idea.
Just give Pucko, like, $5 next month. Like,
that's, like, all of Isle of Armor.
Give Pucko, like, $5 next month, and you can get a Zarude. Like, there you go.
You'll get one.
Done.
Because I'm silly, and I said the wrong thing. Yeah. So, ignore me.
There we go. Boom.
So what is happening in Japan only is a Pokemon Virtual Fest on August the 12th until August the 31st. You can customize an avatar and have them go on various rides and attractions as well as carnival games.
Yay.
Yeah, it's fest in the times of COVID, I guess.
Woo.
Yeah, no, I heard about this. This is I saw it and I thought it was like a really cool idea and I was like, man, I want to get in on this. And then I saw it was Japan only and I'm like, how is the virtual Pokemon land in Japan only? Let me go.
Just use a VPN patch.
But it's probably like all in Japanese or something. Like that's probably the big thing.
I mean, if it's probably simple enough that translating the page with Google is gonna help you.
I know Arigato. I know Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Kauai.
Okay. that's a
and word. And I know painful. That Jolteon is thunders. And Umbreon is not appropriate to say.
Yes. let's just not say it, just in case. So, worthy of note, maybe, is that until yesterday, when you're hearing this, there was an event in the wild area.
Ooh.
that had raids for Pichu, Pikachu, Raichu, and Alolan Raichu, and there's a dedicated slot for a raid that is a guaranteed shiny Pikachu. Now, that event is over now when you're listening to the show.
Yes.
But it seems to build a pattern where something like that happens every month just for a few days. And we usually can't tell you in time because it doesn't get announced beforehand.
Yeah, it just kind of randomly drops.
Yeah, keep an eye on the wild area, keep an eye on Serebii, and you might get something worthwhile to do with your raids while we wait for Crown Tundra.
Yeah, I'm really disappointed by that, by the way. They were doing a really good job, I thought, with like Gigantamax up until the release of Isle of Armor, where it's just like, hey, go get these Gigantamax, but now we can just like Gigantamax aren't special anymore because of the suit.
Yeah.
The other, like, doing raids is still fun. I like just getting together with the patrons and doing the raids and stuff like that.
Mm-mm.
And it's just really good for research gathering, but also just like hanging out and being like, hey, I've got this Pokemon. You want to try to catch it? Yeah, sure. Let's go battle this Pokemon. Things I would like to see if I were to, like, if I wanted more raid stuff, like, I would love more Zeraora type things. That just needs to be way more regular.
I don't know. I didn't enjoy those as much because you needed, like, four people with decent Pokemon, not just four people.
No. My favorite thing was we spent an hour trying to figure out a strategy to, like, beat the shiny one.
Exactly.
It was like, great. I love that. Like, I love that. I think that's great. I mean, the Mewtwo is the same way. I thought that was great. I think the Mewtwo was poorly implemented. Because now that we have the Isle of Armor and we have the like the original wild area, one of these is better than the other, by the way.
Yes.
Now that we have both of those, I think it would be really cool to, like, I mean, it'll suck for people who don't have DLC, but I mean, that's like, I don't think that's that many people, to be completely honest. I think you run like an event that only pops up in one of those two wild areas like that, so that you can still clear out the other one.
Yeah.
You can still clear it out on your own. But even then, I thought those were a blast. Like, I think those are some of the most fun you can have. I do think they should come up with a way, though, like, so that if you're a solo player, you can erase those so you can reset your raids.
Exactly. Does it work, that thing where you do someone else's raid online and it erases one of your beams?
Yes, it does. That is very true.
So that's one way you can do it.
That is one way. Well, I'm thinking about if you can play without Nintendo Online. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is a problem. Mm-hmm.
That's all I was thinking. Like, play without Nintendo Online. See if it's possible. But, it is what it is. Let's move on to some... you've got more. Oh, wait, no, you're done. I'm on to Pokemon Go news, because that's this segment. As part of the Ultra Unlock bonus challenge, Enigma Week is active and lasts until August 14th. Mysterious Pokemon appear more frequently, and various Mons can be hatched out of 7K eggs. I don't know what they are. LGM's available, though. He's got to add it to the game. Shiny Staryu and Deoxys is in 5-star raids right now, so that's very exciting. I love remote raid passes, by the way. They make the game significantly easier.
I got what the news doesn't say here in the document is that you can get unknowns from 2-star raids.
Yes,
and they can be shiny too.
Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that spell out Ultra.
Yes, exactly. I got two today on my couch with remote raid passes.
Nice.
I'm probably going to put more money into Pokemon Go for remote raid passes than anything else ever.
Yeah. Right.
That's the worst thing. All right, but let's continue. Seth.
You got it. So
Pokemon Go, the segment.
They're starting up that thing that I think we're testing in Australia, where they have a whole new gym and coin gathering system, where you can only receive 30 coins a day from gyms, but there are various things you can do in other missions and challenges and things like that to get just 20 coins. So if you don't have a gym near you, you're not in a drought of coins without buying anything.
The problem is you kind of are. Because one of the things for that, unless they change it by the time we get it, is you have to win a raid.
Yeah, but I mean, I can win a raid from my couch. I can't drop a
Yeah, but if you don't have a gym by you. If you don't have a gym by you.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still about social distancing and staying home. So
Yeah, it's still in testing too, so they may change it when it finally gets fully implemented. But it's spreading outside of the first country. So yeah, that's all.
Yay! Mm. All right, finish us off, Whimsicott.
Okay, due to server issues in Pokemon Go. When does that ever happen?
Never.
For Pokemon Go Fest ticket holders, there's going to be a makeup event on August the 16th, which is the Sunday, and 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. local time, where you're going to get the rotating habitats of Fire, Water, and Friendship for each of those 3 hours.
Ah, my favorite starter types.
Yeah, well, those are the... that's because it's a three-hour block that they messed up, because what happened was during Go Fest, there was a huge issue during the first Friendship hour. At least in EDT, where their servers crashed because so many people were sending gifts.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I mean,
Seth, you joke, but Bulbasaur is friend-shaped.
Bulbasaur is a friend for 100% certainty. Most of the grass types are, except that unmentionable one from Gen 2.
Hey.
In Puckle News. The last thing that we want to talk about. I said this during the beginning of the show, but in case you didn't hear me, I'll say it for the people in the back. This is the final league, or the final week of Summer League. If you do not finish getting badges by, I believe, this Saturday or Sunday.
Sunday?
I think it's the 16th. So the Sunday. If you do not finish it by Sunday, you will not be able to enter the tournament at the end of the Summer League. Let you know that. Also, just as a friendly reminder, Etsy.com/shop/PucklePodcast. You can go buy those badges even if you don't earn them. They're still there. Depending on how many people buy them, we'll do this again next year. So definitely keep that up. Also, playmats. You should buy them.
Yeah.
You should buy those. All right. But on that note, we are going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. Today, Whimsicott and Seth are going to be operating as a team to get possibly up to 8 points of Pokemon trivia. There's new rules, guys. We're spicing it up. We're spicing it up. It's a very boring rule, but it exists. It's a very boring rule, but it exists. All right, but today they're going to be operating a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that people from the Discord sent to us. So you can go check out our Discord and drop trivia for these guys to answer, see if you can stump the co-host. Thanks to Liger for compiling the list this week. He is the best.
Thank you.
And so we are going to go ahead and do that. Each question is worth 1 point, except for the 2 times they're not. and they have a hint that they can use to attempt to help them answer a question as a lifeline. However, if they do not use that hint and they get all of the questions correct, they can cash it in for an extra point. So here we go. We are going to get to our first question, and it's going to be from... Oh, wait. This segment, as always, is brought to you by AnimeGravy.com, your one-stop shop for anything anime-related. Thatch also forgot to draw the winners for the last trivia, and it will be a month late, but we'll do it this week, I promise. But you can get a $20 credit if you live in the United States and you submit a trivia question. We'll put you in a raffle and see if you can win by the time we finish Puckle's Poke Quiz. All right. Our first question is going to be from Pixel270. I don't know if I should have allowed this question, but I'll allow it now.
Oh boy.
Oh no.
What is the only Pokemon whose English name's letters are in alphabetical order? And
what?
I will give you a hint that it is a dragon type.
Okay, cool.
I will give you that for free because I do not want you sitting here going through all of the Pokemon.
Exactly. A dragon type helps.
Okay. Okay. Pete, no.
It's a dual type as well.
One of the types is dragon. Okay. I'm going through like every dragon in my head. Like, no. FLYG. No. KING. No.
You're making good progress.
Not Salamence. Gen 5 dragons, Axew, Fracture. No.
this is really hard.
Weird question.
You tell that to Liger. Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of fun. Not gonna lie.
It's a fun question. It is a fun question.
Very fun. Okay. So, no.
I think I'm at Gen 5 now.
No. Dang.
Who are you at in Gen 5, Seth?
I'm trying to remember dragons from Gen 5. Durant,
there's a lot.
That's Gen 7, too. But, Hydra... No. Obviously not Zvilus.
Dano, though. Dano is in alphabetical order.
L-M-N-O-D-E-I... Yeah. Dino.
Mm-mm.
Dino. D E I A B C D E F G. Yeah.
Is that your final answer?
Yep.
Dino is correct. It is Dino. It is apparently the only one.
It's the only one we could find.
Yeah, it's the only one. Fun fact. All right. Our next question is going to be from Oof the Quagman. What is the slowest Pokemon capable of learning Electro Ball?
Wow, that's very, very specific.
Pincushion comes to mind.
It learns it?
I don't know.
If it does, it's definitely the answer.
I don't know the distribution of Electro Ball well because it's a garbage move.
I'm thinking Electro Ball.
It is a garbage move. But Pikachu uses it all the time.
Exactly. Ooh,
okay, that makes it good with its 90 speed. Oh.
So it's for sure in the Pikachu line. They can probably breed it onto something else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they can breed it onto a Pincushion because I don't think they're in the same egg group.
That said, I think Pincushion has a weirdly good move pool.
Mm. But that would exclude Electro Ball.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't have to be a good move. Yeah, true.
Other
weird slow electric things. Like I don't think the Pharaoh line gets it.
Mareep is very slow. Mareep is very slow. And there's also a chance that it's not an electric type. Like something
right,
like
that's...
I don't know, Clink, maybe.
Yeah.
Or Ooh. Even
They're kind of speedy, though.
Dynamo. Dynamo has crap stats.
No, Dynamo has nothing. It has four moves. That's it. None of them are electric.
Yeah, but its evolution might. I don't think it does,
right.
So.
Like, the two things that come to mind for me are Pincushion and, like, Ferroseed.
Mm.
But I don't know. Because
okay.
They get, like, Thunder and Thunder Wave. but I don't think they get Electro Ball.
I would say that Pinkertin is more likely to get Electro Ball. Mm-hmm. It's an electric type, and it's mostly round.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it's worth using the hint here, because even if we get a hint, we might not get it anyway.
Yeah, he'll be like, it's a pure electric type, and okay, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I don't know. Do you want to answer Pinkertin?
Yeah, I'm safe with losing points on this one. Let's do it. Pinkertin.
Pinkertin is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is Yamper.
Oh.
Yamper has a base speed of 26.
What?
Yeah. Boltoon's got like a base speed of 121, but Yamper's 26.
Yamper has a speed of 26?
Have you looked at its stubby little legs?
Yes. It has a speed of 26. And from our flavor text that comes from Liger, he says he's doing his best. Those stubby little legs can only get him so far. Maybe it's more useful when he evolves into a Boltoon and gets 121 base speed.
What?
All right. Our next question, as always, is your Pokedex question. The Pokedex question has different rules from the last time, guys. I will give you one Pokedex entry, at which point you will get a few. You will get a chance to answer it. If I think you're riding the struggle bus real hard, I'm just going to yell at you a second Pokedex entry, and you lose a point.
Okay.
If you can get it based on the first one, you get two.
I like this.
So there we go. You just get a chance for an extra point. That's all I'm saying. All right. So our next question is going to be from X Hunter Homicide X. Maybe we shouldn't have allowed that name.
Wow.
That's a very intense name. All right. It's Pokemon Sword Dex entry reads, a constant collector of information. This Pokemon is very smart, very strong, is what it isn't. A very strong is what it isn't. Who's that Pokemon? I misread that. So I'll reread that. A constant collector of information. This Pokemon is very smart. Very strong is what it isn't. Who's that Pokemon?
Very strong is what it isn't. Okay. Yes. It's very smart. Very strong is what it isn't. That's phrasing. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's the way it reads in the Pokedex entry.
It could be Blipbug.
Or Dottler.
Yes. One of those two.
Dottler seems more that because Doppler radar. So very smart. Are the bugs known for being very smart?
Well, the Doppler line is like they're all about information. That's why they become psychic types.
And they're aliens, so
yeah,
that too. I like those.
Yeah, I want to say it's definitely one of those two. It sounds familiar.
So if we were to ask for a hint here, would it just be another entry, or would it be another form of a hint?
It would be an entry, yes.
Okay. Do we want to try it? We've already gotten a question wrong.
I can't think of anything else. Also, the fact that Thatch isn't shouting at us probably means we're correct.
That's true.
You got a meta game.
Do we want to go with Dottler or Blipbug?
I remember this Pokedex entry, and I don't remember if I laughed more at Blipbug or Dottler.
Okay.
I'm leaning Blipbug, but I'm fine with either.
I'm gonna go with your lean because I am blind in this, so we'll do that one.
Okay, Blipbug.
Blipbug is correct. That is 2 points for you guys today. So you got two from that. So you guys are 3 for 3. Our next question is going to be from Bam. And he says, this has 5 answers.
Whoa.
I apologize. There's 5 answers. I only need 2.
Okay.
I will, once you get 2, I'll call it good. I'm going to give you like 1 strike if you want to guess something. What 5 evolutionary lines have no members that are capable of breeding?
Evolutionary lines? Well, Cosmog is that? Yes.
That is correct. That's one. Yes.
Manaphy and Fionn?
No.
They're not an evolutionary line?
Well, Fionn...
Well,
they're not an evolutionary line, and only Manaphy can breed, I think. Maybe Fionn can. I don't know. But either way, they're not an evolutionary line. They're just weirdly related.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's like actually the opposite of what we're looking for.
Yeah.
So something like that
literally the opposite
evolves but doesn't breed.
Weird genderless things.
But
like, is this can't breed or is in the undiscovered? Like
genderless. Genderless things can still breed with Ditto.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So
Ditto throws a loop to this.
Yeah. Okay, so
you're at one. You're at one. So
okay,
we're at one.
Okay, there must be.
I'm surprised you don't know these. I'm surprised you can't get one more.
Oh, Silvally.
That is right.
That is correct. That is correct. Oh, right. That is 2 points for you
that
guys.
That was the hint that I needed, Thatch.
Those are 2 points. You guys have, the answers are the Cosmog line, Titanol line, the Poipo line, Meltan line, and Kubfu line.
Right.
Is the Meltan line even an evolution? I know, right? I don't know the answer to that. I'm going to be completely honest. All right. This next question is going to be, so you guys are 4 for 4, or no, 5 for 4. So you guys can get a 6 point here. This question is from Poliwoe. What not fully evolved grass type has the highest special defense?
We're going to get our hint here because we can't cash it in anyway.
Exactly. We have a friend who really likes this Pokemon line.
Is it Cradily then? Lileep?
Well, Lileep, maybe.
Yeah.
It is on the Puckle TCG, Matt.
Yeah. Sounds like Lileep.
Yeah. Is there any other grass? Is Eldegoss on there anywhere?
I don't think there's good special defense either. Cotton's special defense is crap.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Like, yeah, I think that's it.
Is that your answer?
I think so.
Lileep is correct. With a base special defense of 87, just beating out Ferroseed at 86. Yeah, fun fact. But yes, that makes you guys 6 points richer today.
Cool.
Which surprisingly changes up the board because we have a lot of people tied in a lot of different places. Okay, so let me highlight this and data format. In first place, tied for first, we have Pimaki and R-Sigma with 7 points. Huh. Tied for third place, we have Whimsicott and Seth Vilo with 6 points. Woo. In a three-way tie for fifth, we have Lydia and Sublime and Basket with 5 points. Everybody else has yet to get on the board.
I don't know why this is so funny, but it is.
All right. We are going to take a short break, yell at you about an iTunes review, and we'll be right back with the topic.
This week, our review comes from Podchaser from Hijinx. Hey, Pokemon podcast experts, this little community has a lot to do and a lot going for. Check it out if you can. Well, thank you for that. And if you have anything else that you would like to go ahead and review us on whatever platform you listen to us on, we would really appreciate it, and we'll probably read it on the show. So thanks, guys. We are now going to kick it on over to the topic.
And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is what makes a Pokemon special? And this is brought on by the fact that we were always disappointed by Zarude. That was like the epitome of messing up mythical Pokemon. Like at least Volcanion was cool, right? Like Volcanion, Magearna's still cool, like a cool design. I don't have a good feeling about Grass Monkey.
No.
Or Grass Dark Monkey. I forgot he's a dark type.
We had enough Grass Monkeys. Ready.
I know, right?
It's like, hey, we made this grass monkey, and then on top of that, I think the most glaring problem that I have with Zarude is that in its dex entry that we got from Pokemon.com, it says they exist in packs.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why is this a mythical Pokemon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's obviously a lot of them. Like, Shaymin was cool. If we go through, like, all of the Pokemon, like, especially Gen 5 onwards, I would say every mythical Pokemon that's not Victini, Gen 5 onwards, has been very much so just to sell a movie.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that's one of the more disappointing things that has happened in recent Pokemon.
Yeah, and there's also another layer to this. It's like, if you consider individual Pokemon, the distribution also comes with a shiny Celebi, which... previous
that's
to this
cooler,
was one of
honestly.
The hardest shinies to get.
It's not that hard, it turns out. So I believe, don't quote me on this, but I'll look this up while you guys talk and say words, but I believe catching Shiny Celebi in the Virtual Console Crystal is increased odds.
Oh, yes, really?
I believe so.
I believe it's like 1 out of 10 chance or something like that.
No, there's no way it's 1 out of 10 chances.
It's way high. I looked into it because I'm like, is it worth doing it? And then I looked into it. I'm like, it might be worth doing it.
Yeah, it is when it was first possible, I believe, legitimately.
Yeah.
I think I've seen people soft throws at like 4,000 times for it.
I don't know when the shiny value is set.
They did get it after 4,000 soft resets. It was Game Boy Luke, I think.
I think it's still increased. I think he's just incredibly unlucky.
It might be like 2 or 3 times the normal rate.
Yeah.
It's definitely not like a friend safari Pokemon or anything, probably.
I think it's easier. I don't know. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to look into it.
Mm-hmm. That kind of leads into a thought, though. Like, does shininess do matter to you guys for making something special?
Absolutely not.
It does to me because I only consider legit shinies.
Yeah.
That's fair.
If it's a shiny, but it's hacked, it doesn't mean anything to me. But if it's a shiny I like hatched or caught in the wild, it means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of that just has to do with our perception of like nostalgia.
Mm.
I don't know about nostalgia.
Not really nostalgia, but like experience.
Effort put into it.
I'm going to like circle back and like rewind. I'm going to take us back to the year 1999
mm-hmm.
and be like, Mew. Mew is like really cool.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, Mew is really, that's the new hotness, you know? The Will Ferrell meme at the time would have been like, oh, Mew's so hot right now. Even today, like, part of the legacy of Mew is still, like, the truck and the playground rumors.
Yeah.
I think it's part of the Pokemon in the zeitgeist as well. I would even agree with that to Celebi to an extent. I think Celebi's, like, a really cool Pokemon because it had, like, a Mew treatment, not as, like, intentionally funny as Mew.
There's a reason I only own the first 3 plushies from GameStop's collection of mythicals they did on the 20th anniversary. It's because those 3 feel special to me. The ones after that do not.
I would agree with that with Jirachi. Honestly, the point where they started going like more than 1 mythical per gen, I think they kind of lost their value a little bit.
Yeah.
Go on, Seth. Tell me how you disagree.
I like how in Gen 4 specifically.
Gen 4, I think, is an exception.
But I mean, like, that's from Gen 3 on, yeah. But Gen 5 on, even that has a little bit of cool stuff to them. A little bit.
Gen 5, they made cool because they let you play with Victini through your game as you were going through.
That was
the
coolest
time.
Part.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Victini, like I said, Victini, coolest mythical, like, out of them all.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
It's a really cool event. You can go through the game. It kind of counts for a Nuzlocke on top of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's in its own location. It's really cool. Victini is, mwah, like, that's beautiful. I wish all mythicals were like that. The Gen 4 mythicals were cool in themselves. One, because I think Seth and I are in the same age bracket. I know for a fact, for me at least, like, the Gen 4 legendaries, like, first of all, that's, like, when Puckle existed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Obviously, when Thatch was, like, super into Pokemon. This was, like, when I could drive and I could actually go get those mythicals and the distribution wasn't stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the first time, like, distribution wasn't stupid for these distribution-only mythicals. I believe Gen 4 was the first time where, like, you could just, like, walk into a GameStop and download it and get out.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Couldn't do that with Deoxys. Jirachi was cool because it was like, oh, you know how we couldn't get these mythicals before? But now you get, like, the GameCube Coliseum bonus disc.
You can actually go get them. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
That's a cool thing to have, is the Coliseum bonus disc. Though the Japanese one is way cooler because it's Celebi.
Yeah.
I've thought about getting a Japanese GameCube just to get the Celebi. Because
mm-hmm.
GameCube's region locked, so you have to buy a Japanese GameCube, which is about the same price as a Japanese Wii, to be fair. You get the Japanese hardware, then you have to obtain Pokemon Coliseum in Japanese, that's the next part, as well as the bonus disc. Then you have to beat Pokemon Coliseum in Japanese, but you have to beat it, and then you can get Celebi at the end.
I mean, you just keep Bulbapedia open, and you
yes,
look up
absolutely.
The level up movesets, and you're fine.
Probably a great way to learn Japanese.
Yeah,
I'll be completely
true.
Honest. If people want Thash to do that on Twitch, let me know.
Oh boy.
Okay, so Japanese GameCubes, not that expensive, turns out. They're like $30.
Are you Googling this right now?
No, I just know this. I've already Googled it. Okay, I've done this. I've done this. This is how you complete your Gen 3 ping decks, okay?
Oh.
Because that's the only way to get Celebi in Gen 3, legitimately.
Huh.
Fun fact.
Yeah.
I was looking into other ways because, like, that's the only legit Celebi that was given out in Gen 3.
Oh, yeah.
I still don't have an answer about whether or not Japanese, like, Coliseum can trade with, like, American Ruby and Sapphire. I don't have an answer for that. I also don't have an answer if, like, Japanese Sapphire can trade with, like, American Sapphire.
That should be able to happen.
Region lock back in, like, the early 2000s was, like, a real thing.
I'm going to see, like, I might have a used Sapphire that I picked up in the States, and my brother has an Italian GameCube. Maybe. If I do remember correctly, and if I do own that US Sapphire, I might run an experiment for you.
Yeah, that would be interesting, because I can't find an answer to that online. I'll be completely honest. I just don't have the answer. Nobody has the answer. Because everybody that cared about trying before, like, importing stuff was, like, a really big thing.
Yeah.
There's nothing on, like, the forum post about it or anything. They're just like, can it do it? And they're just like, oh, no. And that's where the forum post end. All right. It's like 2005. That's it. Nothing else is said.
Wow.
Kind of bringing back to the shiny thing, I know that I worked for, like, 2 months on breeding this Aegislash with the shiny variant. I was so elated by the fact that I could trade that sucker up and keep it with me up until Sword and Shield. And it's in home. I can look at it on my phone. And I even could correct the one defense IV that it was bred with. But gosh darn it, I spent 2 months on it. So it's going to... Like, shiny stuff for me is really cool if I worked at it.
I think there's definitely, like, some emotional value to a lot of things. Like, I foiled Crown Tundra last week by saying, like, we're going to get the Hoenn starters, right? 100% understand why, like, we're getting the Hoenn starters is, like, the next set of starters that they're going to put in Sword and Shield. Because with transferring, like, you can bring a Pokemon all the way from Ruby and Sapphire all the way to Pokemon Sword and Shield. And I know that's a big deal for a lot of people, being able to bring your starter Pokemon from that all the way up. I will also say, like, I'm very hopeful, because we're not getting all of the starters, that there's, like, more coming. There's, like, more to come, and, like, they're going to finish the decks, because leaving out half of the starter Pokemon and all of Pokemon is no bueno. That's a bad idea. We'll see. I'm very willing to be wrong, but we'll see. I mean, if you work for something, I definitely agree that, like, if Pokemon is a story, because, like, Pokemon's kind of like, collecting Pokemon is kind of like collecting any other kind of collectible,
exactly.
If that makes sense. If you collect rocks, as Idem does, like, you remember the story of, like, a particular rock that you collected, right? Like, you're just like, oh man, I found it over here. And so, like, for me, like, Darkrai, I still remember taking the trip with Professor Sycamore over to that particular GameStop and downloading the Darkrai. That's still in my head. Because, like, it happened over a summer. So, like, I remember being like, hey, you want to go do this today? And, like, he was like, heck yeah, let's go do it. And he and I went and did it. I remember doing that kind of stuff very vividly. Pokemon that are attached to memories are, like, the ones that definitely hold the most weight for me, at least, right? I remember that kind of stuff. Like I said, it's like collecting anything else. If you're just like, hey, I worked really hard to get this shiny Pokemon.
Yes, hard work is a factor, but it's also, like, that feeling of sudden magic, like when you find your first random playthrough shiny after 20 years.
I still only have, like, one time that I found one without trying, and I killed it.
Oh no.
It's happened to me so many times, I feel bad. I remember it was Sun and Moon. I was like, yeah, let's go shiny hunt Bonsly, because Bonsly's got a cool shiny. We've got the encounter tracker up, and we're trying to find Bonsly, and we just did, like, a 100%, we found, like, a 100, like, full odds, like, Young Goose. And so we caught the Young Goose. And so, like, I try again, like, this is, like, a year later on, like, Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, because we never did Bonsly. So I was just like, yeah, let's go get Bonsly. And so we go to get Bonsly, and we run into a full odds.
What the heck?
I was just like, huh, cool. I have no attachment to those. Like, zero attachment to those Pokemon. I wasn't looking for them. I wasn't working for them. They're just there. I also run into random shinies, like, way more often than you guys do.
I never had one for 20 years, and you can bet that when I stumbled, literally, like, I was trying to avoid an encounter, and I stumbled onto a shiny Venipede, I was like, wow! I've been wanting this forever!
Mine was a Zubat, so whatever.
Less exciting. I do remember one time... Because, like, when I was a kid, I used to grind, like, way more Ruby and Sapphire and Emerald than I grind Pokemon now. Well, unless you watch Twitch and watch me play Fire, it hurts my soul. Like, I remember when I was a kid, I ran into, it was in Victory Road in Gen 3, and I ran into a shiny Onix.
Wow.
I didn't have any Pokeballs.
No.
Yeah, I know. Doesn't that hurt? To be fair, at least shiny Onix looks like garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that is the reason I rush through every single instance of early gameplay where you don't have Pokeballs, because I'm terrified of that happening to me.
Makes sense.
The individual Pokemon being special to me is mostly, like, Like I said, it's like if it's attached to a memory.
Yeah. I mean, I think my most special Pokemon is the shiny Soviet Thatch, because A, it's a freaking 6 IV shiny Charizard, which was probably the dream of every child on the playground that yes. I never was. And also, I named it after a ninjoke on our podcast, which is just...
To be fair, I don't know that it was would have been a dream of anybody, because like shiny Charizard has a history.
Mm.
It didn't used to be cool.
Really?
Yeah, Charizard used to just, in Gold and Silver, when shinies were introduced, Charizard just got the same shiny palette swap as everybody else did. Because shiny Charizard being black isn't an actual palette swap. It's like one of the special ones where they actually like took the time to like make the specific shiny.
Mm.
When they palette swapped Charizard, he just turned purple.
That is cool in my book.
In Gold and Silver, shiny Charizard is just purple. So just keep that in mind, I guess, if you're just trying to hunt shiny Charizard in Gold and Silver for
honestly,
reasons.
I looked it up. Holy mackerel, that is Grape Charizard.
He's Grape Fanta right there. Because like a few Pokemon got like special treatment of like, hey, we're going to make your shiny the actual shiny. And that's actually what, if you look at like the Gen 7 shinies onwards,
yeah,
they actually do that for every shiny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They took the time to make the shiny sprites not palette swaps and made each Pokemon something of its own.
Mm-mm.
It shows. Crabrawler, I think, is my favorite shiny in Gen 7.
That's why Soviet, that's why Charizard Y is purple.
Yes. It's a cold.
That's why.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I guess I blew some people's minds today. Shiny Charizard was not always black.
Me, at least. Yeah, for sure.
I actually like the purple better.
I like when the palette swaps accidentally made something cool. I'm not a big shiny guy, but like if they do something cool, like Hawlucha is my favorite still. I think Hawlucha is my favorite shiny. Hawlucha is my favorite shiny. I don't care. We can have different opinions. It's subjective.
I just mean you mentioned the H word.
Oh, right.
Hawlucha is my favorite. Oh, I mean, with it being as popular too, you get to use it a lot, so...
Yeah.
I like shiny Hawlucha. Shiny Hawlucha is my favorite shiny.
I think mine is, well, actually, maybe Whimsicott, but also Blossom. Blossom is a really cute one.
I don't know that I have a favorite. Aegislash is really cool because it's a black sword and it is cool. A red, so it implies violence. Mm.
Aegislash was a cool Pokemon concept, like, from announcement onwards.
Yeah.
The only thing that bothered me about Aegislash forever, and still does... Back when we got like Gen 6 announcement, everybody was like, oh man, yeah, you know exactly what this is gonna be. They're just like, oh man, this Honedge thing is super cool, man, it's sweet, let's draw some fan art with people wielding Honedge and stuff like that because swords are cool. And I don't disagree because I play a lot of D&D.
How tall is Aegislash?
No,
it's not Aegislash. It's not that. The only entry we got pre-release of Honedge, like, you know, TPCI always does that. It says, if somebody tries to wield it, it sucks the soul out of their body.
Yep.
Mm-mm.
And I'm just like, did nobody read this?
Yep.
Because nope. They obviously did not, because Honedge is going to suck the soul out of their bodies.
You got
to
think of it more as a soul bind. Like, they suck it out, but they put it back when you let go, right? Right? That's totally. It's think of it like Ash Greninja and Ash in the anime, where they're kind of soulbound, where when one receives damage, the other receives damage as well. It's kind of like Yu-Gi-Oh! In that sense. My justification. Let me have this.
Okay. Here we go. Apparently, this Pokemon is born when a departed spirit inhabits a sword. It attaches itself to people and drinks their life force. If anyone dares to grab its hilt, it wraps a blue cloth around that person's arm and drains that person's life force.
Now, well, you see, if they dare to, not if there's a if there's an agreement between the two parties.
I don't know if that's a thing, Seth. Be like, oh man, I can't wait for that cat to not maul my face off out in the alley.
But your cat wouldn't maul your... Well, no.
Yeah, have you met a cat?
Poor example.
So Honedge is a cat.
Honedge is a cat. That's what we've determined to take.
So since you're a cat, you're a Honedge.
That explains why I like it so much.
Yes, Absolutely. I mean, even Honedge, like, I think the shiny, like, for that entire line is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I dislike it, but that's personal taste.
I think that's one of the lines that was, like, specially chosen.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a list of that, but, like, you can tell. It's not a simple palette swap.
Some of them, like, have really cool stories, like, palette sand being black is because of black sand.
Yeah, that's
so neat. Some of them are really cool.
All of Gen 7 was specifically selected.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Their shinies were selected for a reason. Like, I still like it when it's accidental.
Oh, yeah.
I love when it's accidental. Hawlucha is definitely not accidental. It was chosen. Yeah. But
I don't think you can get that color combination by accident.
Some of the other ones are cool. I like the not purple and pink ones.
I like those.
There's a lot of purple and pink ones.
Yeah.
That's what makes Pokemon special, I guess.
Effort and coolness of it and all that kind of stuff. Like,
I think nostalgia still plays a factor because, like, I would even argue, like, outside of, like, the first ability to be able to, like, go get Gen 4 mythicals, I think Gen 4 did a much better job with even the movies.
Yeah.
I think the three movies for Gen 4 are all solid. I don't think they're, like, first three movie quality. I don't think Pokemon will ever achieve that again.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody was just like, would you rather watch Manaphy and the Range and the Sea Temple or Darkrai, I would say Darkrai 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
The way I would rank my Pokemon movies is like the top three, probably 2000, Pokemon the first movie, Pokemon the third movie.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, The Power of Us was really good. I'm going to put that as number four. I still recommend you watch it if you haven't. And then like number five, like
Return of Mewtwo?
Return of Mewtwo is not a movie. If it is a movie, it's my number five. If it is a movie, that's where we'll leave it.
One other thing I want to throw out just as a quick thing is that I don't think they've completely lost their spark in being able to make mythicals cool.
I think Zarude's a hiccup.
The Zarude is a hiccup, yeah, but I want to experience the Melmetal Meltan effect again.
Oh,
that was cool.
That was the amazing. Coolest thing.
I like not knowing. I do really like not knowing. I also think that despite Urshifu and Calyrex not being called mythicals, I think the way they handled them akin to the old mythicals.
And the fact that they're not in the coding like right now, so we don't know anything about them. So that's what's kind of, it brings that unknown factor into it again.
Yeah.
To know the unknown. That's a song.
Into the unknown, Frozen.
It's from the Pokemon third movie soundtrack. To know the unknown is it's from the third movie soundtrack.
I'm trying real hard not to sing it. Let's move on, please.
All right. So this is a good place to stop. We'll take a short break and we'll be right back at you with the Pokemon of the episode. We'll catch you on the flip flop.
Pokemon of the episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 745, Lycanroc, the wolf Pokemon.
The Ultra Sun entry for its dusk form reads, "Bathed in the setting sun of evening, Lycanroc has undergone a special kind of evolution. An intense fighting spirit underlies its calmness."
I'm still very confused and upset about how they call it the wolf Pokemon, but there are no wolves.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, right. But continuing, Lycanroc, we're particularly talking about the dusk form today, so I'm only going to read off those stats because each form of Lycanroc has its own stats. Fun fact. But dusk's form isn't actually that terrible to get a hold of. But dusk form has an HP of 75, like everything that's not midnight, base attack of 117, which is the highest of all Lycanrocs, base defense of 65, base special attack of 55, where it should be because nobody cares. It's a dump stat. It's kind of like intelligence in D&D. And then we've got a special defense of 65 and a base speed of 110, which is actually really solid. Base 110 speed is nice. That's a nice speed tier. So the team we have for you today with Lycanroc in it is a BSS team. And like always, it's going to be up on Wednesday. You can watch it on YouTube at youtube.com/PokoPodcast, where P. McGee and Claude 9 will walk you through it and show you a few matches with it. I think they enjoyed this one. To be fair, they enjoy most of the teams we give them. I think the one last week with like just starters, they ended up going something like 4-0 with.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how, but it worked apparently. I'm sad that it worked. All right. So let's jump into it. So this team includes a Lycanroc dusk form, which is the most basic set you could probably run on it. Lycanroc did get some cool stuff this gen, though. He got close combat. Pretty cool. Did he have that last gen? Seth,
no.
Correct me. No, I didn't think so. Okay, cool. This is a Lycanroc desk form with a Focus Sash ability Tough Claws, because that's the ability you want. It's very good. And he has 225 attack, 252 speed. They did not give him the nature in this set. I am assuming they're running him Jolly.
Mm. Mm.
And he is he's got Excel Rock, which is priority rock type, which is actually really cool and really good with the amount of flying types running around because of Max Airstream and BSS.
Mm-mm-mm.
And then he's got Stealth Rock, which is there because he has 4 move slots and he has a very shallow move pool.
Mm-hmm.
Stealth Rocks do sometimes still matter in BSS, if that makes anybody feel better.
Sometimes.
Especially with the number of flying types that are around in BSS.
Right.
It does help, like, with flying being such, like, a good type. And it has historically been a good type, because Talonflame spam wouldn't have existed without flying being a good type back in Gen 6, but it's just one of those things that's, like, it's just been rising in prevalence. Like, every time they do anything that messes with moves, flying just bubbles up to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's nuts. But he has Stealth Rock, Close Combat, and Taunt to prevent setup nonsense. And he's fast enough to do it before you can do setup nonsense. And Close Combat's just really good. It's actually really nice having Close Combat on him.
Hmm.
He can take out Urshifu, like, real well. He, like, takes out Urshifu, like, cray-cray.
Hmm.
All right, the other Pokemon that is unsurprising to everybody is a Cinderace. This is the G-Max form, because why not the G-Max form? It's better. Libero, obviously, holding a life orb, jolly Ouch. Nature, 252 attack, 252 speed, Pyro Ball, bounce, high jump, kick, Zen Head, but this is a Cinderace. I don't, like, it's nothing to analyze. This is what Cinderace doing Cinderace things. But yeah, I'll let Seth, you can talk about some more.
Yeah, sure. We'll go directly from one starter into the other. We've got Rillaboom, obviously also in its G-Max form. And it's got Grassy Seed to crank up its defense, ability Grassy Surge, 4 HP, 148 attack, 172 defense, 4 special defense, 180 speed. I don't know what those are
for
but
reasons.
I'm sure that they will explain it.
They will explain it for reasons.
Yeah.
That's the
Adamant
answer.
Nature on it to give it as much oomph as possible. It's got the move set of Grassy Glide, Acrobatics, High Horsepower, and Swords Dance.
Yay. That's a good one. That's like, I like having Acrobatics there too.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
For like the G-Max necessity, but also for like
with the grassy seed.
Yeah, with the grassy seeds too. Like, it's just going to do mm-hmm. well.
Yeah. And then in addition to that, we've got Porygon 2 with the Eviolite as its item, obviously. Ability Download. EVs are 244 HP, 180 defense, 76 special attack. Again, not sure entirely what those do.
I think the 76 special attack is to make sure that you do a certain KO, and I forget who it's on.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But it's a bold nature, obviously no attack IVs, with Tri-Attack, Ice Beam, Recover, and Trick Room. So you can really mess with speed tiers a little bit if you absolutely need to. And remember that Download allows you to grab boosts if you switch into the right thing. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he thick, because of Eviolite.
And he thick. Take us home, Whimsicott.
Okay.
Take us home.
I'm going to take you home riding on a Rotom fan. it's not holding an air balloon, I'm very sorry to say. It is holding a citrus berry. It has a modest nature, an EV spread of 180 HP, 156 special attack, and 164 speed. It has the moves Air Slash, obviously, Rising Voltage, Dark Pulse, and Nasty Blot. A very interesting Rotom.
It is Rotom Fan. Rotom Fan's not bad in a Dynamax meta.
Yes.
Because it can at least get the speed boost. And Electric type is a very decent type as well. Like, I would say, like, you always have, like, the... ground types also aren't as prevalent as they used to be,
Mm-mm-mm.
in my opinion. Like, that's why Hippowdon, when it shows up, just, like, destroys teams. Because nobody's prepared for Hippowdon.
Yeah.
And
especially with its throat spray.
Yeah, what? What did what?
Don't worry about it.
I'm what?
I just sprinkled some cayenne pepper on this team of the episode.
Oh my goodness.
Don't worry about it.
Oh my goodness.
You need to send that set to Sigma and hope they find a team.
Oh, they
with
know.
It.
They're the ones that told me.
Oh god.
Oh no.
Oh no. Okay.
Okay. Last Pokemon is a Mimikyu. The ability is obviously disguised. And it's holding a key berry, which is a very good item on Mimikyu, in my opinion. It has an adamant nature, and it has 164 HP, 212 attack, 92 defense, 4 special defense, and 36 speed. Now, I think the defensive EVs might be so that it's almost guaranteed to survive Surging Strikes from an Adamant Choice Band Urshifu.
Yeah, that's like number 6 in usage or something.
I ran the calcs and it pretty much goes to that. And the speed is so that you outspeed by 1 point uninvested neutral nature base 100s.
Yeah.
Huh.
Mm-mm.
That makes sense. That makes sense. You cannot run a Urshifu that decided to be bulky.
Yeah, I suppose.
I guess. All right. Well, if you want to play this team will as always be in the description, but also, or not in the description, but in the Discord. You can also check out Cloud9 and P. McGee. You can go check it out over on YouTube at youtube.com/PokoPodcast, but we are going to kick it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time! Send in your emails. Mail!
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where we read your listener emails on the show. Just email us at pucklepodcast.com and we might read it on the show. Okie dokie. So this segment, as always, is brought to you by the energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
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 And as always, we'll give the Green Tauros badge for remember to somebody who wrote a really nice email. Last week we asked you, what do you want to see from Pokemon in 2020? So we're going to go ahead and dive right into these emails. So our first one is going to be from Summer.
Okay. Summer says, "What's up, Buckle Crew? My name is Summer. I've been listening to your podcast for a couple of weeks now, and it's the best part of my week. I'm very glad to hear that. Thank you. I've really enjoyed getting my news here along with my favorite segment, the Poke Quiz. Now, the prompt for this week. I really am a believer of Gen 4 remakes. Or I should say, I thought they were going to happen. I personally wouldn't be surprised if we got more DLC if what you said was true, and that they realized they wouldn't get Gen 4 done in time.
Or they do both. Or they do both.
We can only hope.
I think they could do both. I think it's reasonable.
Fingers crossed. What I would love out of it is a good way to shiny hunt. Oh, yes. Please.
They like took out all the good shiny hunting and stuff, like all of it. It's all gone.
Yeah.
You don't care, Seth. It's fine.
I've been playing Pokemon since 2010 and started shiny hunting when Sun came out, and I'm nearing 250 unique shinies. Wow.
That's a lot.
Wow. Good job. My most recent being a route reset Fennipede in under 500 encounters. I didn't play a lot of Sword and Shield, only because I shiny hunt mainly, and without a good method, I went back to Gen 6 and 7 and stayed there. That's very fair. That's totally fair.
I still think Auraz has the best shiny hunting method. I still, to this day.
Yeah.
My favorite shiny hunting method is Pokénav.
I like the Pokérator too, but Pokénav is probably objectively the best.
I think it's objectively the best, yeah. 100%.
If we don't get a new method, I'd be down to learn Raidor, but I hope that's not the case. Anyways, thanks for your time and the smile you give me every week. Aww. See you later, friends. Aww, they're adorable.
Oh, we appreciate it. All right, I guess our next email this week is from Charizard Stan.
All right, I got this one. Hello, Puckle Crew. I write this email from the cab of my beer truck waiting for the next one to show up. Beer is inelastic, so the recession means we're actually selling more than ever. I've got three things that I absolutely want to happen in 2021 for Pokemon. The first thing is another DLC announcement. Game Freak needs to finish the decks to appease the masses. It's a no-brainer cash cow. Dedicated players will begrudgingly throw another $30 at it to be able to catch all 900 mons in one game.
I definitely would.
And let's not forget the insanely high attachment rate. I expect that would continue. Second, I would love a Diamond Pearl remake. I'm guessing everyone who wrote in said this as well. I loved the legendary hunts in the end game. It was also the first game that had a complete living dex after thousands of hours playing Gen 3, 4, XD Coliseum, so the nostalgia factor is strong with this one. Third, and less related to Pokemon, I would love for Nintendo to announce a Switch Pro. Imagine playing Zelda in 1440 and 120Hz in your hands.
That part probably wouldn't happen with the Switch Pro.
Who knows?
It would overheat so badly. Can you imagine?
That, you could play it in winter.
With where technology is, that's not... No. That's not happening. But even then, Zelda doesn't actually exist in 1440p.
Well, Breath of the Wild doesn't, but maybe Breath of the Wild 2 could go there.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you will. I'm saying there's a new game coming out and we don't know everything about it yet.
And as he says in the remainder of his paragraph, this is definitely a pipe dream, as Nintendo to an extent doesn't care how much powerful Microsoft and Sony hardware is, but we can always hope.
Fair.
So he kind of tampers his dreams. I don't blame him.
Yeah. I'm just thinking from a technology perspective, because that's like kind of my job.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm like the guy that helps like develop that kind of stuff. And it's just like, I don't think it's quite there to the point where like you could actually have that kind of screen in your hands and it would work well. Like not outside of like thermal management and stuff, just like the power requirements required to be able to do stuff like that are kind of insane. And like, it's more a limiting factor of like battery technology at the time.
Yeah, I mean,
than it is like thermal management.
Yeah. I don't even have like the tiniest hands ever. My hands are relatively big for a woman, but the Switch is kind of heavy for me.
Yeah, I mean the battery is really just the biggest thing. Like the battery on the Switch, I mean you can't get like much bigger than what it is without like really expanding the size of the Switch.
Mm-mm.
And it's one of those issues. Like the battery technology is kind of behind. I know they're working on it, like because lithium ion can only get us so far, and so like we have to change the technology. I know some people who are working on it.
Woo. Anyway, wrapping this up, thanks for taking the time to read this, and as always, keep up the good work. Your friendly neighborhood Charizard Stan. P.S. Thatch, cover your ears even if you're reading this.
If I cover them, my headphones are still there and I'll hear it, though.
Oh, that doesn't make a lot of sense, then. I guess you're going to have to just listen.
Oh, no.
I would love for a Generation 1 remake where we follow Team Rocket into Johto and completely thwart them out of existence rather than the other way around in Gen 2. It would be a fresh take on the most overdone aspect of the series. This could wait until the 30th anniversary, though, because Gen 1 remakes are getting old. I understand if the thought makes anyone sick.
I like this approach.
If it was a different story in Kanto, I would absolutely be down for it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll chase them into Johto if the story in Kanto is different than the story in Kanto we already got. Like, if I went through Kanto and, like, Janine was there instead of Koga.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Like, show me Kanto, like, 5 years later. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That would be interesting to me. But it is what it is. I won't complain. And then let us go back to the Sevii Islands. Don't. You don't want that. You don't. Like, everybody's like, why aren't the Sevii Islands? And let's go. And it's just like, even if they were, you don't want that. I promise.
No.
I promise you don't want the Sevii Islands. I just played through them. I can tell you don't want them. All right. But thank you for that, Charizard Stan. All right, this next one is from K Fury. Hey Puckle, this is K Fury here, and this is my first time emailing into the show. Well, welcome to our humble abode. Hopefully I'm not too mean. I started listening to you all about a year ago, and I have since picked up listening now that I'm at work. Whether it's listening to the newest episode or browsing through old ones, I'm so sorry.
Ouch.
I love hearing people discuss my favorite video games, and you guys are the best at it.
Aww.
Thank you. As for what I expect from 2021, I like the idea of a second DLC pack coming in the earlier middle parts of the year that would flesh out some of the missing mons not included in the Isle of Armor or Crown Tundra. If the DLC is selling as good as they say, this is a good money move for TPCI, as well as a good PR targeted at those who strongly oppose Dexit. Switch's legacy can be salvaged a little bit that way. I also see Diamond and Pearl remakes happening in the second half of the year, but there's a chance it could be pushed back further. While these are things I would expect to see, I would also love to see something completely new for TPCI that isn't Pokemon Unite.
Wow.
Pokemon has only really shaken up the gaming world twice with the original Pokemon games and now Pokemon Go. I think that's a little biased. Only because they shook up the gaming world, but when they did it, like, they shook the gaming world and, like, culture hard.
Yeah.
More so than anything else ever did.
Pokemon is not the gaming just world. In the gaming world. Pokemon is a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah. Like, that's like a worldwide phenomenon kind of thing. Like, that's like the two instances you said aren't like gaming world shifts. Those are like zeitgeist.
Exactly. They're
the number one intellectual property.
It's like, exactly. Yeah. It's like world. Saying that Star Wars, like, shook up the movie world.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but they only did it the first time.
Yeah.
And so, like,
well,
that's
to be fair.
Like, that's what do you mean there's six other movies?
There's two other movies at the most.
I like all of them. I'm so weird.
I didn't mind Force Awakens. Honestly, except for 9, I think 9's my least favorite. And it's only because they were just like, you can. I do just like 8 as well, just because like of how meta it gets.
I like that actually about it. It's my favorite
like
part about
it.
Like, yeah. It's an awkwardly made movie, like it. But it says something that I like. Whereas 9 is blatantly, like,
fan service. They're trying to, like, fix
it. It's not even fan service. It's like, they had an idea for a movie, and the stuff happened, and several things happened, actually. And they couldn't and didn't want to do the movie that they were supposed to do. And so they scrambled something together, and it made a huge mess that was really not enjoyable.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. Let's see. Okay, I would love for them to come up with a new idea that uses Pokemon in a really fun, unique way. Pokemon Conquest.
Mm.
Done. Ugh. Well, I never got the chance to play PokePark. You're not missing anything. A game featuring Pokemon in many different ways, like, that would be a really cool concept.
Oh.
Thanks for everything you do, Puckle. K Fury.
You know what they could do? Like, you do Scribblenauts, but with Pokemon. You have to use Pokemon to solve puzzles. Like, and every Pokemon, like... come on, that would be fun.
They've kind of done that to an extent. I get what you're trying to say. Like, you use Pokemon. They've done that in the Pokemon Ranger games, though. To a lesser extent.
But the gameplay was not about solving the puzzle with the Pokemon. The gameplay was about making circles on your thingy. Instead, you have to, like, select the Pokemon that can actually fix the problem for you. And if it's like Scribblenauts, there are actually, like, there's a main Pokemon that can solve that. But if you use lateral thinking, a couple of other Pokemon can actually, like, you know, that would be fun.
All right. So I think that's everything. I think K Fury gets the Green Taurus badge.
I would agree with that.
I'm not opposed to that.
This week. All right, K Fury, you get the Green Taurus badge this week. If you come to the Discord, let us know, and we will slap you a green roll. On top of that, if you want to email us next week at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, let us know what makes a Pokemon special to you. Is it because you have a good story? And what Pokemon are special to you? I like those stories better. Those stories are always better.
Yeah.
The ones that, like, almost make you cry.
Yeah,
like,
I
those
love
are the
them.
Ones. Those are the ones. I'm all about that. All right, so... with that, though, if you want to keep up with Puckle throughout the week, one, go to Discord over at Discord.gg/whatever text they put after it. It's in the show notes because we don't have enough Nitro Boost to get Discord.gg/PucklePodcast. boost us with Nitro, then yeah. We can have it. But then you can also go to you can also follow us on social media, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, and Facebook. You can also check us out over on YouTube at youtube.com/PucklePodcast. You can check us out on what's that other thing that we always go to? Twitch.tv/ThePucklePodcast. I'll be there Tuesday and Thursday this week, so be sure to check that out. And then, of course, if you want even more Puckly goodness in your life, you could do so by supporting the show. You can do that in a like a lot of ways. One, you can go buy some badges over at Etsy at etsy.com/shop/PucklePodcast. or a TCG mat. I'm taking those down on the 31st, by the way. The 31st of August. Boom. Gone. That's your chance. You missed it. I'm sorry. You have to do that now or never. And then, because Thatch can't be a factory that ships out things all the time. And then, of course, you could always go over to patreon.com/pucklepodcast to get cool things like, what is that? We're doing giveaways right now for shiny Three Musketeers and Keldeo. Not shiny, just regular Keldeo. But probably Zarude next month. We also have a TeePublic store where you can buy t-shirts. Anything you buy there helps us out. You could also go ahead and go over to, what's the other thing? Twitch. Drop us a Twitch Prime subscription. And I think that's it. So on that note, though, guys, we are going to we're gonna wrap things up here. I have been Trainer Thatch.
I have been the Fluffiest Whimsicott.
And I've been Seth Milo.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.